As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader and your host, Mickey Garris. It is good to be here today on this hot, steamy hot Saturday afternoon. Holy smokes, it is hot. We're not cut out for this stuff in Oregon. I got to tell you, I'm melting. I mean, I'm not like crazy overweight, but you know, I'm a little bit chunky. I've got some love handles. I like food. I think we've talked about that before. I'm a foodie. I like to eat, and very seldom do I skip a meal. But man, I'm just not built for this kind of weather that we've been having this week, and it's been brutal. I've had all kinds of yard work to do, and just been out there and sweating up a storm. My baseball team, though, holy smokes, I feel for these boys. We're number one in our league. We're getting ready for districts. We're hopefully going to be going to state. We got a couple more big games in front of us. And looking at the forecast, we've got a game on Monday, and it's supposed to be like 110, 111. I pray to God that we get some overcast and it cools down before our game starts at 6 p.m. because those poor boys, they're, you know what? They're in better shape than I am, but being out there in that sun playing ball, that's going to be brutal in temperatures like that. Temperatures that we're not accustomed to here in Oregon. It'd be one thing if we were, in Arizona and it was just kind of the standard summer, but we don't see triple-digit temperatures in Oregon. We very see the 90 range in Oregon, not more than just a couple days, it seems like. But this heat wave that we're getting now, it's definitely brutal. We played on Thursday night. My boys did well. We won. Coming back after a pretty rough game, the team was giving me a hard time. They said I jinxed them because this last year, for the COVID season, I'll call it, I was growing my hair out. I've never had long hair, and being involved in various organizations I've been involved in, or running for office, being on city council. In my adult life, I never felt comfortable looking shaggy like that. I've always kept a pretty clean cut, short haircut. And so this last year when COVID hit, I said, you know what, well, I didn't plan it. It was just COVID came around and they locked everything down. And there was a month or two that it was tough to get in to get a haircut. You couldn't go anywhere, if you remember right. And so my hair got, you know, a month shaggier than it had ever been before. And then next thing you know, it was 6 weeks shaggier and then 8 weeks shaggier than it had ever been before. And I started posting pictures. I was back last May, June, I was comparing myself jokingly to Cooter from the Dukes of Hazzard, and that's kind of what it was looking like, and I thought to myself, you know, for one reason or another, I've never had long hair, and so I was just going to roll with it and grow it out, and I could use COVID as the excuse. So when I was kind of embarrassed to go out and people look at me and say, what's going on? I can't get a haircut. I got this COVID stuff and everything's shut down and I can't get in to see my barber. So I used COVID excuse for about 6 months or so. And then it just became, you know, I've never had long hair before. Before I die or before my hair is gone, because let's be honest, I'm getting to that point in my life where there's not as much up top as there used to be. I thought I'm going to give it a try and get some long hair going. So I started growing long hair and I went for, let me see, almost 15 months, my friends, the longest in my life, I believe, I had ever gone without getting a haircut. 15 months with no haircut, and my hair was down about 5 or 6 inches below my shoulders. It was getting pretty long and pretty shaggy, And my family hated it. My wife did not like it at all. My daughter was a little bit embarrassed, I'd say. But you know who appreciated my efforts? My baseball team. Those boys, they didn't let me down. And in baseball season, you know what you have to do when you have longer hair? You got to bring the mullet back, baby. And I brought the mullet back. I was amazing, you know? Business in the front, party in the back. And a mullet is a baseball hairstyle. So I'm sporting the mullet all season long. The boys are inspired. They're having a hell of a season. And some of the boys even started growing out their hair. They wanted the mullet too. And we were just kind of having fun with it. Well, this week, my friends, with this temperature and the weather that's forecasted to happen, and I just was looking at it and I said, I can't do it anymore. I've got some other things coming up on the horizon that I need to look a little bit more professional for. I've got some big plans in the future, and I just wanted to get back to, you know, the clean cut professional look. And this temperature was a good excuse to do that. So I cut it all off. I'm back trimmed up, looking sharp and dapper. And I show up for the baseball game, and man, on Thursday night, they were so disappointed. They could not believe it. And then they had the worst game of their season. And guess who got the blame? I got the blame. In fact, they started calling me Samson. You know, I cut my hair and crap went, you know, sideways real quick. And they just had a rough night. And so let's just say they weren't real pleased with me. But in the heat, though, in the temperature, I will say having the short hair does feel a lot better. So that's more information than I planned on telling you about my hair and what I'm doing with it right now. But bottom line is it's hot out there, and a haircut does make it feel a little bit nicer. So I hope you guys are surviving the heat. I hope you guys are hydrating, and I hope everything's going well. I've been a little bit concerned about my yard and my flowers and my grass. Things are just drying out so quickly. And like we've talked so many times, I'm, of course, concerned about the fire danger. You know, Oregon is at extreme risk. These temperatures are not helping. We're just a tinderbox. If things get going, it's going to be worse than it was last year. I hate to tell you that. We are in drought conditions. Our reservoirs are lower than they've ever been at this point. And you know what? Just pray for the state. Pray that people make smart choices. Pray that we are protected from the idiots that seek to do wrong, that seek to harm us, that will intentionally start these fires. And pray for our firefighters that are out there trying to keep us safe and fighting off these fires as they do start, and that things just don't get out of control, because it's going to be a scary season, and it hasn't started yet. We're just in the wee infant stages, and I don't think we're getting any more rain this summer, guys. I think the rain is done, and these high temperatures, things are going to get real nasty. Now, that is something that should concern us, but is it as bad as being hit with a nuclear weapon, or let's say F-15? Because our commander-in-chief, you know, Joe Biden, Creepy Joe, Uncle Joe, the Harris-Biden administration, I don't know if you guys were paying attention this last week to his news conference. Of course, they're talking gun control and how out of control it really is, and how they need to do things to make sure that they keep the guns out of the wrong hands. And, of course, everything they're planning on doing is really seeking to limit or strip us of our constitutional right, the Second Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms, my friends, shall not be infringed. That was up until the Harris-Biden administration. And they are working hard. They've got a new task force with the ATF. They're working on legislation. They are pushing courts. They are pushing legislators. And they have an agenda. It's an anti-gun agenda. And they want to do away with the Second Amendment altogether. So, of course, to do that, they have to try to rewrite history and try to convince us that the Second Amendment really doesn't mean what it clearly says in black and white. It really doesn't mean what it has clearly been interpreted as for 245 years, that we're just wrong on our understanding, and our founding fathers never meant it to mean that we have the right to keep and bear arms, And that right, we know what it was for. It was to protect us against tyrannical governments. It was protecting our lives, our families, our futures, our country, this republic, against tyranny, against tyrannical governments, foreign or domestic. And it's been used the right way over the years. People have been able to protect themselves. This country has been able to protect our borders. There has been times in our history where we are involved in big wars, world wars, and reasons that we weren't attacked on our soil in this country were because of the Second Amendment, because of the fact that so many Americans have guns, that we are indeed the biggest armed civilian army in the entire world. And there was that famous admiral from Japan that said that the reason they decided not to come on our mainland is because they knew that Americans had a gun behind every blade of grass. Yes, our firearms are a deterrent and they do a good job at protecting us, even if we don't have to squeeze the trigger. But now the Harris-Biden administration, Creepy Joe, is trying to again rewrite history and convince us that the Second Amendment really doesn't mean what we thought it meant all these years. And he says, from the day it was passed, the Second Amendment limited the type of people who could own guns and what type of weapon you could own. Now, he said a lot of things, and of course we know that Biden cannot speak. He's definitely got mental issues happening. His cognitive abilities are slipping. I believe he has Alzheimer's, and I just do not believe he is fit for office. He stutters. He can't read a teleprompter. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He gets confused very, very easily. And so he misquotes a lot of things. You know, he tried to do Thomas Jefferson's famous quote about the tree of liberty needing to be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Well, Biden says, and I quote, "Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government, well, the tree of liberty has not been watered with the blood of patriots." What? What? The tree of liberty has not been watered with the blood of patriots? Are you kidding me, you jackass? What the hell are you talking about, Biden? Let's talk about the thousands and thousands of soldiers who have bled for this country, who have given their life for your freedom, who have given the life so you could be elected Commander-in-Chief of the United States, who have given their life to protect each and every one of us, protect our borders, who swore an oath to the Constitution and to this country, and they fought, they died, and yes, they absolutely bled. They bled. Their blood feeds the tree of liberty. For you to say something like that is a disgrace. It is shameful. It is disrespectful to anybody that served, but it's disrespectful mostly to the people that have died for this country, who have bled for this country. Their blood definitely did feed the tree of liberty. And yes, they absolutely are patriots. You absolutely disgust me, and you are not a commander in chief. You are a disgrace to this nation. Folks, I hope that fired you up like it fired me up, because this is who we have running this country right now. And no, I'm not naive. I realize he's not running this country. We know that he is merely a puppet and the puppet masters are pulling the strings. But this is absolutely scary that we have this guy out front and he is representing us. He went and traveled across the world. He sat down last week and had a meeting with Putin. You know, our enemies are just sizing him up. After the meetings that he had last week, they are just rubbing their hands together with big old smiles because they know that they can stomp on the United States. And let me tell you, Iran, China, Russia, they are first in line. They're coming for us, my friends, because they know that we do not have any leadership. They know that Biden is weak, and they know that they can do whatever they want. They can put us in a corner, they can threaten us, and they can get money. They can extort money out of us, and they know what players in our system, our government, who is tyrannical and who is corrupt, and who they can manipulate, and they are seeking to take full advantage of that. Stick with us. We're just getting started right here on Patriot Uprising Radio, my friends. We'll be right back. Do not turn that dial.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. You got me fired up today, and let me tell you, it wasn't really you. It was Biden. It was the Harris-Biden administration. It was the piss-poor leadership we have in D.C., and I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm embarrassed for this nation, and I am scared for this republic. And we have our president standing up in front of us, telling us how we need to relinquish our guns, how we need to have more gun laws, how the Second Amendment does not mean what we thought it meant all these years, how we don't have the rights to the guns that we own, how we need to be more limited. And he's mocking the patriots that have fought and died for this country, who have bled for this country. Their blood, it did feed the Tree of Liberty. And Biden says no. Well, the Tree of Liberty has not been watered by the blood of patriots. Yes, it has, my friend. And that is why we still have liberty and freedom in this country. Or at least I thought we did. But my friends, he doesn't stop there. And keep in mind, this is the President of the United States talking. And what he said, it's absolutely anti-American. It's tyrannical. It's treasonous. And I think if Donald Trump ever said anything like this, you guys, this is what should tick you guys off. The double standard, the way they operate different and hold the standards and accountability different for the Democrats than they do the Republicans, different than they did for Donald Trump, for sure. It blows my mind, and it's obvious to everybody, but few people have a backbone to stand up and say anything about it. The President of the United States stands up there, and what he said he should be impeached for. And Donald Trump would have been impeached for this. I guarantee you, Donald Trump, if he said anything like this, they would have impeached him. Why they're not going after Biden, it blows my mind. He's talking to the American people. He's talking about Americans. He's talking about Americans protecting themselves from tyrannical government. Because, you know, that's what conservatives like to say. That's why we cling to our Second Amendment. That's why we cling to our guns. That's what us patriots, you know, we are doing this to be able to protect ourselves from tyrannical government. And so he's mocking us when he's talking to us about this. And he says, if you want to, I'm quoting this now, it's not my terrible grammar or English, and I know I've got issues there. I'm the only radio host in the country probably that has such a limited English and grammar, but normally I can explain what I'm meaning. I'm hoping you guys are following me. But this is really bad. This isn't me. I'm quoting the President of the United States now. He says, and I quote, if you want to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. And then he chuckles. The President of the United States, the way I take that, my friends, he just threatened to nuke us. He threatened to nuke United States citizens. He threatened to nuke people that want to protect their rights, that want to uphold the Second Amendment of the United States, the Constitution of the United States, that want to keep our guns so we can defend ourselves and protect ourselves against tyrannical governments. He referenced that specifically, and he said, if you want to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you're going to need F-15s and nuclear weapons. How is that not impeachable? How is that not treasonous? He's threatening the United States and the citizens within this country with the use of military-grade weapons, F-15 airplanes, and nuclear weapons. You have got to be kidding me. And this guy gets a pass? Hardly anybody has said anything about this. Surely not mainstream media. It blows my mind. Imagine if Donald Trump said that. Joe Biden, the Second Amendment. What don't you understand about shall not be infringed? And I could go on. You know, he did make a good point there. Americans, by the way I interpret the Second Amendment, by what I believe the founding fathers envisioned the Second Amendment for, it wasn't so we can go out deer hunting, my friends. It was so we can defend ourselves against enemy nations and tyrannical governments. If we're going to do that, and our founding fathers knew this, if we are going to have that ability, we need to have the same type of weaponry as they do. The whole reason they gave us the Second Amendment, my friends, was so we could stop tyrannical governments. And there's no way we could stop tyrannical governments if we don't have the same type of firepower as they do, apples to apples. That's what the Second Amendment was intended for. And it's been corrupted over the years. And our government, as it's become more tyrannical, it has sought to strip us more and more from our rights and our freedoms. And it's limited the Second Amendment. But truly, what they're telling us today is not what the intent of the Second Amendment is. What they're telling us today makes the Second Amendment almost useless. And that's not why the founders included the Second Amendment in our Bill of Rights. That's not why they made sure that the Second Amendment was number two. It was so important. It was so important. It only came after freedom of speech and freedom of religion. The right to assemble. And then the Second Amendment to protect all that and everything that came after that. That is what the founders did. That is why they gave it to us. So yes, we should. I agree with Biden. If we want to fight tyrannical governments, we should have access to things like, oh, let's say F-15s. We should have access to military-grade weapons. Now, you might think that sounds extreme, that sounds a little bit crazy, but that's the reality that we're looking at. Now, I know that's not going to be reality. As much as I'd love to have my own F-15, I don't think I want a nuclear weapon. That scares me a little bit. But as much as I'd love to have my own F-15 or let's say a tank or something like that, a bazooka, you know, I could have a lot of fun with some of those things. Financially, I don't think it's going to fit in my budget. I'll talk to my wife about it. But you know what? I heard those things cost a pretty penny. But it's just not going to be my reality. But the truth of the matter is Biden is right. If we want to be able to defend ourselves against tyrannical government, we do need to have firepower that equates, that is apples to apples. Otherwise, the odds are not in our favor. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I hope you guys are doing fine on this hot Saturday afternoon. And we were just talking about how our president of the United States, the Harris-Biden administration, creepy Uncle Joe, stood up there in front of everybody talking about his new task force on gun control and new policies and regulations that the ATF are going to be working on to further strip us of our rights to keep and bear arms. Let me remind you guys, the Second Amendment, right? You guys should all know this by heart. I'm just going to rattle it off. And if you guys don't know this by heart, it's something that you guys should learn. It's something that it's kind of like, oh, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. You guys should all be able to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Very important. And it's something that every patriot, every God-fearing American citizen should just automatically know. I believe the Second Amendment is something that we all should know too. And so it is a well-regulated militia. Being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I always repeat that last part, shall not be infringed, because that's pretty clear. The government can do nothing to keep you from being able to keep and bear arms. Shall not be infringed. It's definite. It's definite. Period. There's nothing else. They don't have the right to do anything. They don't have the right to pass laws, to put more restrictions. They don't have the right. Shall not be infringed. Okay? Now, Biden, he thinks it means something different. Clearly, the Democrats think it means something different. The Second Amendment is their roadblock. The Second Amendment is what they are the most afraid of, because they know to move their plan, to move their agenda to the next stage, it's going to start getting ugly. And they know that there is a line. Eventually, people will protect themselves, protect this republic. They will stand their ground. People are willing to die for this republic and fight for their families, fight for their futures. And they know that. So if they can remove the guns, if they can get the guns out of our hands, it's going to make it so people aren't able to stand their ground and put up as much of a fight. Okay? But think about what Biden did here in this speech. Think about what he's implying. He's basically saying, you know what, if the American people, and he's talking to the people, he's talking to the citizens, and he's saying, if the American people ever rose up against tyranny in the U.S., if the American people ever rose up against tyranny in the U.S., that our military would nuke them. Think about that. If you stood up against tyranny in the U.S., so if you thought that our government was tyrannical and you decided to organize and make a stand, that the government, the U.S. government, would nuke U.S. cities. So he says, if we were to defend ourselves, we'd have to have our own F-15s and our own nukes. Can you believe that? That is just absolutely crazy. The fact that we have a president looking American people in the eyes and not so many words, flat out telling them, I say not so many words with him, it's kind of funny because he doesn't have so many words, does he? but flat out telling people, just try it. You think you're going to stand up against me? You think you're going to come at me? Just try it. I got the F-15s and the nukes, and I'll use them on you, baby. That's what he's saying. What a thug. What a dictator. This is not a republic. That's not how the leader of a republic would talk. And frankly, friends, that is not how citizens in a republic, that's nothing that we should be acceptable or okay with. That's why, to me, this is a big deal, and it blows my mind. It blows my mind that it is not front page news and more people aren't screaming for impeachment and even more, because it goes beyond tyranny. It's treasonous what he is threatening to do to people, citizens, American citizens in this country. He would nuke U.S. cities. He'd turn his F-15s against the people if we dare to raise up against tyranny, if we dare to exercise our constitutional right, our Second Amendment. It is amazing. It is nutty. It's crazy that is happening in this country, yet here we are. That's what he implied. And to me, it's black and white. He says it in plain English. Yeah, you gotta listen to it two or three times to understand what he's saying, because he can't say a sentence without screwing it up. But that's exactly what he said. I gave you the real quotes, my friends. If this is the first time you're hearing it, you can go watch the video. You can go watch him say it. They want gun control. They want your guns. And the reason they want them is so we can't rise up against the tyranny that is coming. It is knocking on our door. It is on the doorstep. It's coming to the doorbell. It's on its way. And it's time, my friends. It's time for patriots. It's time for patriots that are willing to spill their blood to water the tree of liberty. It is time for us to make a stand and say what is happening is not right. What this president is doing is not right. It is dangerous. It is un-American. And we demand better. And it is time. It is time to put a stop to this. We've got to work hard. We've got to stop fighting against each other. The Republican Party needs to stop fighting against each other. We need to unite for the common cause. You know, it used to be that Republicans and Democrats were more or less united for the Republic. You know, we were built, our foundation was built on a Judeo-Christian society. And didn't matter what you were, Republican or Democrat, you had the base foundation that you could unite with. But over the years, that's obviously changed. And there is nothing left of the Democrat Party that resembles, that even begins to resemble a Judeo-Christian foundation. And we know that this country, my friends, we know this country cannot exist without that. We know that this republic, it never would have existed without that. That was their entire basis. When we broke away from Britain, they wanted to make sure that we could govern ourselves. And there was only one way we could do that. In fact, John Adams, my friends, he said it best. He said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Think about that. John Adams, what a brilliant man. He's actually one of my favorite founders. He's somebody that he wasn't very well liked. He was a grouchy, crotchety old man. He didn't have a good way with people. And I think because of that, he didn't get the notoriety that he probably should have for his role. Without a John Adams, there never would have been a republic. He started everything. If you remember right, he believed so much in law and order that he defended the British soldiers that fired the shots. Do you remember that? And a lot of people were pissed at him for doing that. They did not understand how he could defend British soldiers who just opened up and fired their weapons on the colonists. But he did, because he believed in law and order, and he believed that people should be innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. And without John Adams, we would not be where we are today. And I honestly don't believe that this republic would even exist. He inspired this republic in a lot of ways. And he was so instrumental. He was so instrumental in guiding us and developing our Constitution. And he was an amazing president. It wasn't until years later that people really understood how he protected this republic with the decisions he made while he was president. And he had a lot of hard decisions he had to make, a lot of decisions that made him very unpopular and actually cost him his election for the second term. He was challenged. He was constantly being worked against by members in his own cabinet, Hamilton, for example. But he stuck to his values. He stuck to American values. He stuck to the truth. And because of the decisions he made, he ended up saving this republic and keeping us out of wars that we didn't need to be in, and keeping us from going bankrupt and needlessly killing innocent American citizens. He was an amazing founder, one of my favorites. And anyway, that's just a side note. But yeah, so think about what he said, though, that this Constitution, why was it developed in the first place? It was made only for immoral and religious people. It is wholeheartedly inadequate to the government of any other. So think about that. Do you think right now that the Democrat Party, the Democrats are a moral and religious people? Definitely not. Definitely not. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here with more Patriot Uprising Radio. Thank you.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow Patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Thanks for joining me here today. We are on the final segment. Time sure does fly when you're having fun. You guys, really, you've been a great audience today. I do appreciate the feedback I'm getting, and you know, the fact that you're not throwing tomatoes at me and things like that. Duly noted, I know that I am on the right track today. Seriously, though, time does go by fast, and I've spent a lot of time talking about how the Harris-Biden administration would like to cancel the Second Amendment and strip us of our gun rights. And make no mistake, my friends, they are actively working on that. That is their agenda. They can't move forward with what they want to do until they can take care of our guns. That's not me being some conspiracy guy. That's the truth. We know what happens. We've seen it example after example after example all over the world. We know that there is factions in this country that are pushing us towards socialism, Marxism, and we know for a fact that they're working really hard to try to change this republic, try to fundamentally change this country. And so we need to be ready to fight back. We need to be willing to fight back. That's the reality, my friends. What's happening in this country? It is a battle of good and evil. And we were just talking about how the country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and values, and how our founders believe that our Constitution exists and will only work based on those values and principles. And I was comparing the Democrat Party, and honestly, you can't say that they follow those values and principles anymore. We know they don't. Look at the things they stand for. I've said it before, and it's ticked people off. I've even had pastors kind of talk to me and say, whoa, slow down. You've been a little bit harsh. You can't alienate people like that. And I said, what do you mean? I can't tell the truth. I can't call it how it is. I can't say what the Bible says. Are you not a pastor? You should be at the pulpit, pounding on that pulpit, saying exactly what the Bible says. One of the reasons I think we're in the trouble that we're in this country is because too many pastors no longer preach what the Bible says. And they've taken this, we can't offend anybody. We can't scare anybody away. We got to be all inclusive. That's how we're going to win more people into my congregation. And I kind of think that church has become business and more people equate to more money. And so we lose focus. They have lost sight of what the message is supposed to be, the whole entire purpose. Why do they exist? Right? Well, I think pastors need to be saying, hey, if you're a Democrat, you really need to look at the policies that that party endorses, the policies that that party pushes and funds. Look where your money is going. How is it being spent? And then say, are those really policies that can align with my Christian values? Are those policies that go hand in hand with what the scripture says, what the Bible is telling me, what the lessons that Jesus taught are? Or are the policies of the Democrat Party something that resembles something very different, something a lot more dark, possibly a little bit more evil? And I think the answer is obvious to almost everybody. And I think there's some Democrats that don't even realize it. They do think they're Christians. They believe they're Christians, and their head is in the sand about their party and about what their party stands for and the policies their party's been pushing the last two decades. It's time for these people to wake up, and they got to wake up by hearing it from their pastors. Their pastors need to say, hey, you cannot be a Christian if you're a Democrat. Don't get ticked at me for saying that, my friends. That's the truth. If you're a Democrat and you support the policies, I'm sorry, I don't believe you can consider yourself a Christian. I'm not judging. I'm just flat out telling you the truth. So I want to talk to you real quick before we leave. We don't got a lot of time, but I do want to talk to you about the state of Oregon. You guys know that House District 23, the seat that was once held by former Rep. Mike Nierman, is vacated. We know that the legislator voted to expel Mike Nierman because he was brought up on criminal charges in relation to opening the Capitol door and allowing people to come in during session when it was locked down because of the COVID, so they claimed, right? And so obviously it's a witch hunt. They're going after Mike. Whether you agree with what he did or didn't do, it's kind of irrelevant now. I do think the Capitol should have been open. I do think that the ordinances and the Constitution clearly state that the Capitol needs to be open. I wish that more Republicans would have made a stand. But nonetheless, right now, Mike has been expelled and there's nothing we can do about that. But we do definitely need to replace him as soon as possible. And so that process is happening as we speak. The PCPs of House District 23 have gotten together and they've made their selections of nominations. And they're sending that to the commissioners in House District 23, which is made up of Polk County, Benton County, Marion County, and Yamhill County. Those commissioners will ultimately decide out of the selection that the PCPs sent them. But what I want to tell you guys is we are all by law protected to have representation, and we need to have equal representation. And that's why we have representatives, so they can represent the district at the state level for us. And they have a vote, and their vote is speaking for us, the people in that district. My question is, what is the legalities or the constitutionality of the state legislature moving on with daily business, continuing to pass bills, pass laws that are affecting the people of House District 23. 57,000 people are represented in House District 23. And right now we have zero representation. We have nobody casting that vote for us. There is nobody arguing on our behalf. And for example, on Thursday, they passed Senate Bill 139 that raises taxes for small businesses. Senate Bill 139 raises taxes for small businesses, and there are 57,000 people in House District 23. Some of those people have small businesses in House District 23, and they had zero reputation at the state level, representation at the state level. They had nobody fighting on their behalf. They had nobody there casting a no vote. Isn't that taxed without representation? I thought that was illegal. So my question is, from the time they expelled Representative Mike Nierman from his seat representing House District 23 and the people in House District 23, I think all the business in Salem should have been put on hold. I think legally they should not be allowed to pass any new laws, push any more new bills, raise anybody else's taxes until the people of House District 23 are adequately and equally represented. And that is not happening right now. And so I'm going to look further into this. I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm going to challenge this. I think it's illegal. I think it's unconstitutional. I think it's absolutely unethical. We have Salem going crazy. The Democrat-led legislator in Salem, the supermajority, they are going crazy. They are pushing stuff forward left and right. And the people of House District 23 have no voice and no representation. And I don't think that's fair. And I don't think it's legal. I think anything that they have passed during this time, from after the time that they expelled Mike Nierman, I think it should be considered null and void until we get representation and they can have a revote. That's my feelings on it, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and I'm going to keep pushing this issue, my friends. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here with me. Remember, my friends, it's hot out there. Make sure you're hydrating. That's what I tell my ball team. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water, taking care of yourself. If you're feeling funny, get out of the sun and get some water. Hopefully we get past this heat wave. Be smart. Be vigilant. Pray for Oregon. Pray for the United States. And yes, my friends, I continue to pray for our president, Donald J. Trump. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.